it's time once again to sit down with a brand new comic book release and have two of us, for major spoilers, review it. This is Dueling Reviews. I'm Stephen Schleicher, and over there, that silent person for the moment.
Aha.
Ah, see, is Matthew.
Lots of luck there, son. You put money on me being silent, and somebody is going to lose some money.
This week, we are looking at Valiant Entertainment, Valiant Comics, Valiant Universes, Unity number one.
VIP.
Now, first question.
Yes.
For a lot of people who may not know about the Valiant Universe was thriving, what, like 23 years ago, 20 years ago?
The original Valiant Universe launched in, I think, 93, the same year as Comics Greatest World and the same time as Image. It was part of the same thing that gave us the Image Revolution and a whole bunch of other companies that went, holy moly, look, we're not Marvel and DC.
Right, right. But there were a number of characters that came out. Of course, people, characters like Ninjak and Exo Manowar are probably characters that some people remember. So when Valiant, went out of business or whatever they did?
Valiant went under, and then there was a second Valiant when Valiant was purchased or subcontracted or whatever by Acclaim Entertainment, which was a video game company. And then there was what's called the VH2 version, the Valiant Heroes second edition, which is where I believe Ninjak had a second big run.
Okay.
A better one, actually. And they also came up with characters like the Troublemakers and the Trinity Angels and that one guy who had the thing on his head, Quantum and Woody.
So now we are in version 3 of Valiant.
At least.
And the question that I have is, are these characters totally rebooted, or are their character origins still continuing from before?
The characters are ostensibly the same guys. Essentially, what this really kind of breaks down to is pre-crisis and post-crisis is the best analogy I can give you.
Okay.
It's still Clark Kent as Superman. Everything else is probably still up in the air.
So, yeah, I don't remember Exo Manowar just trying to be a colossal D-bag back in the day.
Well,
or maybe I'm just misremembering something.
Exo Manowar was always a guy who was like, aha, I am the mightiest, and the mightiest gets what they want. But they've never really taken it to the scale that we see in Unity number one, where Exo Manowar comes back from space. This is part of his original origin. The spider aliens, or in this case, I believe they're called the Vine, capture him, and they dragged him out into space to be a slave or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a hold of Shannara, the living armor that makes him Exo Manowar and not just, you know, Conan. And he came back to Earth thousands of years later. But in this version, rather than come back to Earth and have a cute sidekick and, you know, take over a company, Eric has come back to his old homeland of Dacia and claimed it for himself with his new power. But the problem that we run into is that Dacia is now the modern nation of Romania.
Right. And, of course, the Russians don't like that. They want to attack. And so it's up to, I don't even remember this guy's name.
Toyo Harada.
Harada. Mm-hmm. And who is he with? Who does he represent? What's his character?
Toyo Harada was the villain of Harbinger.
Ah, that's right. So why is he suddenly everybody's go-to guy?
Go-to guy, Jack. You are. No, Harada in this continuity is a child who I believe it was actually the explosion at Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
But Harada was in. Yeah, Harada was a small child, and he has these incredible telepathic and omnipathic powers. Something terrible happened, and he's now trying to save the world, but he's doing it in a very, very Machiavellian sort of you have to break a lot of eggs. Phase.
Sure.
It's understandable. And when you see him in this issue, he does come across kind of heroic. In Harbinger, he's played a lot more ambiguous or ambiguous or however one pronounces the word with ambiguity in it. But yeah, he's still kind of a douche.
Okay. Because for me, I guess reading this, I'm like, oh, I thought he was a bad guy, but all of a sudden everyone's turning to him for help. He's got some guy with a broken arm who apparently went up against Exo Manowar someplace in between the panels.
That's the Eternal Warrior. What's his name?
The Eternal Warrior.
Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong?
Yes.
This is his brother,
okay.
The Eternal Warrior.
So the Eternal Warrior at some point went up against Exo Manowar, I guess between the panels, because he got his butt kicked.
Right. That happened, I believe, in either Eternal Warrior's own book or as a crossover with Exo.
Okay.
Eternal Warrior has been floating around the New Valiant universe, and I haven't been reading Eternal Warrior, but I did see him crossover and pop up in Archer and Armstrong.
Okay.
Gilad is his name.
So, Harada's big plan is to take this team of highly specialized people, create a team called Unity, drop them into Romania, and have them take out Exo Manowar.
And it's a beautiful comic book plan. I mean,
oh, sure it is. I mean, the Eternal Warrior tells him what the job is, how it has to be timed down to exact precision, that everybody has to hit him in waves upon waves upon waves. Ninjak has infiltrated the alien ship. And then Unity, all four of them fall from the sky. And then in the matter of two pages, they are obliterated. So I do not know why this series is called Unity if the team has been wiped out with heads and flaming skulls flying everywhere.
I think there's more to the title than we see here, but I kind of like the subversion of here's this super team and they're like the Avengers and they're going to come together against this great threat. And also they're dead.
Yeah.
Because we get that little moment where it's like, here's this guy and here's his awesome power. And here's this guy and here's his awesome power. And also they're dead.
Yeah. No, I got a kick out of it.
Awful, but
I got a kick out of it, but it kind of also defeated the purpose of calling your piece Unity, unless, of course, all these other characters are unifying, which we also don't get a lot of that because the Eternal Warrior and Harada are already hanging out. He's already hired Ninjak, who I'm guessing is still alive in that backup story.
Yes, Ninjak seems to be alive and in Eric's clutches.
And so he's easy to be bought out. So who else are we left to join the team? Archer and Armstrong?
Yeah, and there's
the Hardcore, there is
the Harbinger kids, and the Hardcore, and Bloodshot.
But aren't the Harbinger kids the ones that Harada's already guiding?
The kids who are actually in the Harbinger title are not.
Oh, okay.
The Harbinger title is like it used to be. I'm an issue or two behind, but it was Peter Stanchek who was called at one point Sting in the old continuity, and his girlfriend Chris, and Torque, and Flamingo, and Zephyr. And when they said, hey, that guy's named Torque, I'm like, oh man, I can't even sue. That's like 20 years before me.
So Valiant claims that this is a great jumping on point for new readers. And I'll say, if you can just get away and not have to pay attention to who any of these characters are or who any of their histories are, if you don't need to know who the guy with a broken arm is, and if you don't need to know who Ninjak is and what his powers are, yeah, this is a pretty good jumping on point because they do explain Exo's position and why he is trying to take over Romania and what he's trying to do and how the world is on the brink of World War III because the Russians are upset. But it
Russians
is
in Afghanistan.
It does bring up a lot of questions for new readers, people unfamiliar with this. And ultimately, I think that not having a good, grounded idea of who these characters are makes me lose interest in this story very quickly.
It is difficult. And I think that to some degree, when it comes to a big company crossover, the expectation that you're reading the books will always be there. You can make an argument for, yes, the people reading the books are the people who love the Valiant books. And I think that there's some legitimacy to that argument. But then there's also the argument of, if you haven't been reading the books, what does this story mean for you? And
right.
I find, as someone who's been kind of, sort of reading the books and not really paying attention necessarily so much, it is problematic even for me. And I'm somebody who can tell you that the VH1 version did this and the VH2 version did that. As much as I kind of, part of me is entertained by the, you know, here's these awesome superheroes. Oh, they're dead. That does feel very anticlimactic.
Well, you know, as far as the story goes, I like the idea of here is this despot that has arrived on Earth and is trying to take over, and no one can stop him except for maybe the smartest man on Earth. And the smartest man on Earth has assembled this team, and kapow, plans do not go according to his master plan right from the start. And now we have to go with plan B. I like the story, right? I like the concept. I just have no backstory on these characters to appreciate, well, why is Ninjak so awesome and why is he still alive when Exo Manowar just blew the head off the head of the Unity team? And why isn't Ninjak dead?
Therein lies the rub, I think. That's going to be the biggest problem, is why does that kind of thing matter? You know, how do we sit it down and look at this and really say to ourselves, how do we make this approachable? As a reader, this issue is, okay, there are still points where, even as someone who reads some of the Valiant properties, now I've never read Bloodshot in any of its incarnations, but I read the Valiant properties and I'm still in this issue kind of going, okay, wait, oh yeah, right, that's got to be Ninjak. You're kind of piecing things together. And I think that that does work against the story a little bit.
Hmm. Well, you know, as far as the story goes, if you want to just go from the baseline, the story makes sense. It would have been nice to have a few more, you know, when the Unity team is jumping out of the plane and getting ready to land, they've got their little word boxes that describe who they are and what their powers are. You know, they could have done that for every character here. They could have done that for Harada. They could have done it for the Eternal Warrior. They could have done it for Ninjak. They could have done it for Hardak. They could have done it for Vordak.
Hardak and Karnak.
And that would have eased some of my concern about the book. But the story-wise, I thought it's still good. I just think for this claim that it's a great jumping-on point for new readers might be just a little bit misleading.
I can get behind that. I mean, it seems like there are issues with just the concept of a jumping-on point for me. So when you say something is a great jumping-on point, I'm always a little leery, because a good jumping on point is by definition also a good jumping off point.
Right, right, right.
You know, if you're creating a moment that is, here's our gateway to our world, love it, come jump in, there's also a moment where you're saying, here's this gateway to our world, and the reader can go, eh, that's not for me. I'm a go.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys later and stuff. So, you know, like
for
that.
On the art side, a lot of times when you think of smaller publishers, you think of art that may not be super high caliber. Sometimes we've seen some of the smaller publishers who have art that, you know, doesn't strike my fancy very much. And to me, oftentimes is subpar. But man, the art in this book is really, really good.
Oh, yes. And it's throughout the issue is just kinetic. I mean, it's amazing. We open the issue with kind of an Astro City type moment of a young woman in Romania as Eric attacks. And I really like the way that whole thing breaks down with the attack. And she is on the ground with a regular soldier. And it feels like, you know, Call of Duty 3 Modern Warfare. And that's a good thing. And then we get to the sequence where we first see Eric in the Exo suit. And she's looking up at him, and it is a holy moly, way cool splash page.
Yeah.
Where you see this is our hero character, or our villain character, whatever you want to call it. This is the character who's driving this story. And they really sell it with that panel. That's amazing.
Well, even in later on, when all of the characters get their own splash page, I know Ninjak gets a splash page. I'm pretty sure that Eternal Warrior and certainly Unity gets their own pages. I mean, they're just done so well.
Hi, we're Unity.
Yeah, hi, we're Unity. Pow, 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 pow. And it's done
we're
quick.
Dead now.
You know how quickly some of those fights go in Critical Hit, where each round lasts a second or 6 seconds. You know, this fight's over pretty quick when they take them on.
And
but
you
man.
Don't even have the awesomeness of Rob trying to figure out math for 2 hours in that 6 seconds.
Doug Braithwaite is the artist here.
Yes.
And just does a phenomenal job in this book. And for the art alone, I think it's worth picking up. Like you said, lots of dynamic shots. You don't have characters that, well, I mean, you have characters sitting around, but they're not just sitting around. They're sitting around doing big, important things.
They're not just sitting around the house. They're sitting around the house. Sorry, I cracked myself up there.
Man. So awkward. From the art side, pick it up. Really great. Story side, I think the story is solid.
Yeah.
But for someone like me who has not read any Valiant stuff in probably, I think I read the Valiant stuff the first time it came out in 93 or whatever year that was.
93, 94.
Yeah. I know I was picking up Exo Man of War. I'm pretty sure I picked up a few issues of Ninjak at one point. And Bloodshot, I think I've probably got a few issues of that somewhere floating around in the back catalog.
And this is, I mean, this is the 20-year anniversary of the original Unity story.
Ah, so there was a Unity story? Did it follow the same plot? Is this a retelling?
No.
Okay.
No. The Unity story in the original thing was, it involves Dr. Solar, who is a character that this Valiant doesn't have.
Right.
Solar broke time, basically, and one of his villains took advantage of this, and so it took place in the future of Magnus Robot Fighter, who this Valiant incarnation also doesn't have.
Also had that one. Yeah, I think Magnus Solar is over at Dark Horse now, I think.
Well, Solar and Magnus both got canceled.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Or at least are on hiatus. I haven't seen anything from Dark Horse Valiant, well, Western publishing books, whatever you want to call them, in
a couple of years, I guess. Turok, wasn't he also a Valiant book?
Turok is another one that they have. Turok, Magnus, Dr. Solar, and one other guy are still owned by the Western publishing company that used to be Dell Comics.
Yeah, so they're just licensing.
They were actually, the original Valiant actually licensed those guys, from what I understand.
All right.
That's how they got to be part of Valiant.
Now, just real quickly, continuing on with the art. If you get the digital version from Comixology, which I did, it's got a digital exclusive pencil work by Doug Braithwaite, and it's showing a lot of the main splash page panels. It's got the whole sequence where Ninjak and Exo are fighting in there. What I really would have liked, because, again, it's a digital issue. You're not losing any more money because of printing costs. It would have been great to have had the entire issue in the pencils included in there.
Yeah.
But that's just me nitpicking.
Well, and I can definitely.
It's a $3.99 book. You know, that's 44 pages, $3.99.
44 pages at $3.99. You figure an average Marvel DC book is 20 pages at $2.99.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough sell, but...
But the Braithwaite pencils are great.
Yes. The art in this issue is great. And if you're just somebody who wants to geek out on some good art and look at the guys in armor going fighty-fighty, this would be something to check into as well.
So, this backup issue is called Exo Man of War number 19 Unity Tie-In. So, I wonder if this is explained further in...
Exo
number 19, because at the end, Exo's standing there and he's like, what is that? And she's like, oh, it's this, and we're doing this. He goes, no, what is that? And he's pointing off into the distance, and it says to be continued in Exo Man of War number 19. So maybe it's not even a backup. Maybe this is more of a teaser.
It's Dr. Solar. I think it's a backup / teaser.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with that up to a point. I mean, when it comes to these crossovers, I always complain when you can't enjoy the regular title without reading the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they're able to avoid that.
Well, I know a lot of people are excited about this book. Bottom line for me is I love the art. I think the story is solid. I don't think that this is a good jumping on point, but I thought this was a solid comic. I say go out and check it out if you've been casually reading Valiant. I don't think you're going to go wrong. If you want to see a really cool fighty bust 'em up story with a teamwork involved, I think this is something you want to pick up. If you want to go in and say, oh, this is where I'm finally going to get into the Valiant universe, I don't think you should pick this book up. That's where I come from.
I don't think this is a good, this is not a good first ever Valiant
comic.
No,
this really isn't. But it is a solid comic.
Yes. It is a fine, fine comic book of comic bookery.
So what's your final thought on this?
I'm kind of the same way. I like this issue. I don't feel like it is absolutely necessary for my enjoyment of the Valiant that I'm reading, but I'm interested to see where it's going, and I share a little, in fact, I share most of your complaints about plotting. So I think that overall, if you're interested in some Valiant, you could definitely go, you know, much worse wrong. I think this is a good book to start with. So
excellent.
But don't make it your first Valiant.
Yeah, ever. No. yeah. Okay, everybody, coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got the One for a Dollar Star Wars Legacy number one. Next week also features the Fifth Beetle, the Brian Epstein story, coming out in multiple collections. You can get the collector's edition hardcover for $49.99. You could get the just the regular hardcover for $19.99, or you could get the limited edition hardcover for $99.99.
Wow.
Or you could just get yourself a Game of Thrones White Walker bust for $124.99. Kiss Me Satan number three is also coming out.
The White Walker bust is Daenerys, right?
No.
Oh.
The White Walkers are those,
white and,
those things that are on the other side of the giant wall.
Every time I watch HBO, all I see is the blonde girl in her bust, and I thought, never mind.
From DC Comics next week, next week. Yeah. Batman 66 number 5, Batman and Two-Face 25, Batman Beyond Universe 4, Emperor Penguin and Scare Tactics both get collected volumes. Birds of Prey hits the 0-year crossover event. Fables 135. Now, you've heard this, Matthew, that Fables is coming to an end?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I've always said that books should be allowed to end where the writer says, yes, my book is ending.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it's Willingham making the decision and not Vertigo saying, hey, man, get out. And by the way, we own everything because they don't. But yeah, I'm fine with that. So what do we got? We've got, is it 160 or 150? I forget which issue it's ending on.
I believe they said 150.
Okay, so we've got 15 more issues to go. Basically a year and a half to go on Fables. Fairest in All the Land gets a hardcover. Forever Evil Rogues Rebellion number 2. Or maybe it's Forever Evil Rogues Rebellion number 2 instead of Forever Evil Rogues.
Evil Rogues.
Rebellion.
Rebellion.
Harley Quinn gets a 0 issue. That should be interesting. That's the one that had a bit of controversy surrounding it. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number 8. Mad presents Spy versus Spy. Scooby-Doo team up number 1. I'm going to bet it's not with Batman.
Oh, Wonder, what if it is?
Oh, if it was, it'd be pretty awesome.
We need to review Scooby-Doo team up.
I don't even think they do that. Ooh, IDW Publishing has Ben 10 number 1 for Ben 10 fans. Gin Rise number 8. Magic the Gathering Theros number 1. That's a second printing there. Mars Attacks the Human Condition. Trade paperback. Samurai Jack.
I'm sorry, what?
Mars Attacks the Human Condition. Trade paperback. $17.99.
What?
I just walked in to see what condition my condition was in. Samurai Jack number 2 also comes out. Transformers Dark Cybertron number 1. With chicken in one hand and playing cards in the other. Voice in the Dark number 1 comes out from Image Comics. Clone number 12. Ghosted number 4. Mice Templar Savage Dragon number 192. Sex Criminals number 3. I saw a teaser. I think it was from the creator today on Twitter. Fraction. Yeah, Fraction, where he tweeted out a picture. He goes, here we come, Apple, issue number 3, out next week.
Did Apple refuse to carry number 2?
I don't know if they did on number 2, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Number 1 they held off and then put, and then number 2 I think they refused to carry except if you do the side hack thing.
Oh, really? Hmm. Yeah, oh, we'll go where you go through Comixology, buy it there, and then download it on your device. Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever it is. The thing. I know Fraction put it up on the internet of how to get it.
I think that's how you do it. And it's not really a hack. It's just that you're not buying it through the Apple store, and thus Apple cleanses its hands from saying, well, we don't sell pornography. So,
well, it's not.
Well, it's not. But you know, anything that has boobies and wieners in it, people are going to claim as pornography.
Boobies and wieners.
A plus X. A plus X number 14 comes out from Marvel Comics. Avengers number 23. Avengers A. That's the Cthulhu crossover.
Daredevil, what's A plus X?
22. Daredevil number 33 comes out. Dexter number 5. Fantastic Four number 14, which I think is the final issue of that one. I think it's 14.
I believe you're right.
Because
you
then
want to
it
cover the final issue of Fantastic Four?
Well, then it reboots in January or February.
Marvel Now. Yeah. Now 0.5.
Indestructible Hulk number 15.
You're a Hulk.
Secret Avengers, Spider-Man versus Venom gets a poster. Thunderbolts number 18, X-Men number 7, Young Avengers 12. Oh, and from the rest, we have Afterlife with Archie number 2.
Archie
and Friends double. I don't care. The new Asterix omnibus comes out, $27.95. Atomic Robo Real Science Adventures number 12 and Atomic Robo Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur number 3 both hit stands next week. I know that these have been delayed. Well, I know that they've been delayed a couple of times, and I know over at the Atomic Robo website they've addressed why there was a delay. Should be back on schedule. Bloodshot and Hardcore number 16.
I had a Bloodshot Hardcore in college. I had to get like glucose injections right in my knees.
Fraggle Rock Classics trade paperback.
I think that's the Fraggle Rock series from Boom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or Archaea.
Murata She-Wolf gets a hardcover, and that's from Titan Comics.
I love Murata the She-Wolf. Granted, it's a reprint trade paperback.
Yeah.
You have to do it as a TPB review, but we should put that on our stack, man.
Red Sonja number 5, I think that is the Gail Simone series.
Yes.
Shadow number 19, Star Wars Very Vader Valentine Day soft cover.
I'm sorry. What?
Star Wars Very Vader Valentine's Day soft cover, $6.99.
Very Vader Valentine, doo-dah.
Valerian graphic novel, Wally Wood Eerie Tales of Crime and Horror Deluxe Slipcase Edition, that is $69.95.
Wow.
And then Exo Man of War number 19, which ties into Unity and concludes our list of new comics out next week, comes out from Valiant.
Would it be terrible if we did Afterlife with Archie number 2?
No, it wouldn't. I'd be fine with that. I know people will
should.
You know, to be honest, I was really surprised the October in this month, Diamond released the top 399 comics instead of the regular top 300 comics. I think this is the second month that they've done that. And I had predicted that I thought Afterlife with Archie was going to be number one just because of the nature of the zombies and the Archie and the art by Francesco Francavilla and the great story. I felt certain that it was going to be number one. It didn't hit number one. It did hit number 42 in the month of October for the first issue, which is probably one of the highest ranked Archie books that I remember in a long time. Granted, Kevin Keller may have been higher at one point, but I wouldn't mind reviewing Afterlife with Archie number 2. I want to see what Jughead does to Midge. I want to see if Betty or Veronica gets eaten first. I want to see if Sabrina comes back.
Now, I will promise to the faithful spoilerites listening to this show that I am not going to keep wanting to do Afterlife with Archie month over month. But I'd like to follow up because that's probably the most successful comic we've done as a dueling review.
Oh, yeah.
Where we both went, this is awesome from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Francesco Francavilla and Roberto Aguirre Sacasa are super awesome and you should buy the comics.
And I really think I would encourage listeners to go out and buy this book next Wednesday. And Matthew and I'll have our review up later that evening and you guys can go page by page with us. And see what we think about it and see what you think about it. And of course, you can find this all over at majorspoilers.com. If you want to help us out, we really would appreciate it. You can there's a couple of ways you can help us out. You can head over to majorspoilers.com and during this holiday season, click on the Amazon banner, buy all of your stuff that you're going to buy anyway through Amazon. A little bit comes back our way and certainly helps us out. You can also consider becoming a Major Spoilers VIP. A $2, a $5, or a $10 a month recurring donation not only ensures that the site and the podcast that you love continue to grow, but you get access to a members-only VIP site with some bonus content not seen anywhere else.
Woo! VIP, by the way, stands for violently incoherent people.
No, it stands for very important people, which is what all of our listeners are. And we want them to sign up, help us reach the goal, help get Major Spoilers over to Phase 2, members.majorspoilers.com. And if you're needing a new pair of headphones, I saw on Twitter this week a couple of people's headphones broke. Head over to tweakedaudio.com. Yeah. And when you use the checkout code MAJOR, you get 1/3 off your price. Again, holiday time, you're wanting to buy somebody a cool pair of headphones that come in a variety of colors, styles, shapes, and sizes. tweakedaudio.com, one-third off, great price. So there's a little commercial plug right there at the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. If you've read Unity number one, head over to majorspoilers.com and share your reviewer, your reader rating that we have up there. You're going to see that change a little bit in the coming months that I think is going to be pretty cool. And, man, there's so many good things coming from majorspoilers.com. Next week, Afterlife with Archie number two from Archie Comics. And until next time, keep reading comics!